You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Help When Things Seem Impossible. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
There are now over 5 million couples in the United States who are unable to have children. And according to the National Center for Health Statistics, this number of childless couples is increasing. In their desperation and in their strong desire to have children, some couples spend as much as $100,000. Many of these desperate husbands and wives have been led to believe that if they use some of the most modern technology, they will be assured of having a family. However, according to the most recent information, this is not the case. Last month, Newsweek magazine carried an article explaining that of all the couples who place their faith and hope in modern technology in order to have a baby, 75% or an astounding three-quarters fail. As a result of this high rate of failure of modern technology to cause fertility, the Federal Trade Commission has obtained cease and desist orders against 11 fertility clinics whose advertising implied that achieving pregnancy through technology was an easy and almost 100% certainty. According to responsible medical authorities, this is simply not true. The fact is this: conception remains one of the greatest miracles of God, and unless God permits conception to take place, it is simply not going to happen. In the Bible, God speaks clearly. He is the author of both life and death. It is striking, therefore, to notice how the current failure of conception of millions of couples today corresponds very clearly to key stories in the Bible. In the days of the Bible, just as today, it took the miraculous hand of God to create life. And there is nothing impossible for God. For example, when God planned to send John the Baptist as a forerunner of Jesus Christ, God decided to use Zacharias and Elizabeth as parents. But there was one major problem. When God sent the angel Gabriel to tell Zacharias that his aging wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby, Zacharias said, "But I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." This doubt of Zacharias, however, did not dissuade or deter the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel did not launch into a lengthy discussion explaining to doubting Zacharias as to how Elizabeth would conceive. Gabriel simply said, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news." The events that followed took place just as the angel said they would. Elizabeth conceived. 9 months later, a baby was born. He was called John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, and everything took place just as the angel said it would. In the midst of the miraculous 9 months, the angel said, "Nothing will be impossible with God." This is not the first time in history, of course, that such a miracle of conception and birth is described in the Bible. If we go further back in history, we read in the Bible, Genesis chapter 18, that one day the Lord appeared to aging Abraham in the heat of the day. And through his messengers, God told Abraham, "At this time next year, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Oh, this news was surely a surprise. The Bible says that Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. The Bible also says that when the angel made this announcement, Sarah was listening near the door of the tent, and when she heard the messenger of God say that she would conceive and have a baby, she laughed to herself. But here again, instead of arguing whether or not it would be possible for God to provide aging Sarah with a baby, the messengers of the Lord simply said, "Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. The Bible later explains that the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore a son for Abraham in his old age at the appointed time at which God had spoken to him. Oh, it is absolutely amazing, isn't it, how strikingly relevant these two Bible stories are for us today. These two historical events of centuries and centuries ago clearly demonstrate that in every generation, with God, there is nothing that is impossible. God's messengers told Abraham, "Is there anything too difficult for the Lord?" And centuries later, the angel Gabriel told Zacharias, nothing will be impossible for God. These examples found in the Bible, which powerfully demonstrate how God miraculously enabled older couples to conceive, Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, and Zacharias and Elizabeth in the New Testament, this does not mean that God, in the 20th century, will then also automatically enable all childless couples to conceive and to have children. However, these Bible stories definitely do teach that God has the power to do this or anything that he desires if this is his will. God, you see, has the power over all of life and death. Oh, let this biblical truth be then for you the basis for your future. At this moment, you may not feel all that godly or even religious, but there is still hope for you. Your hope lies not in yourself, but your hope lies in God. And many things in this life may seem impossible to you, but nothing is impossible for the Lord. Therefore, even if you have fallen away from God, or even if you have never been a child of God, this can change. For with God, remember, with God, everything is possible. You and I are sinners, and because of our sins, we can never qualify ourselves or make ourselves acceptable unto a holy and righteous God. But the good news of God is this: God can do this. And through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God can adopt us into his family. The Apostle Paul speaks about this gracious adoption of God in his letter to the Galatian Christians when he writes, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons." And again, in his letter to the believers in Ephesus, St. Paul repeats this same glorious gospel message for all of us, even in the 20th century, to hear. God has predestined us to adoption as sons through the Lord Jesus Christ unto himself according to the kind intention of his will. And to the believers in Rome, the Apostle Paul writes, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons." And even later in the same letter, St. Paul, with a claim of victory in God's grace, writes, "We await eagerly for our adoption as sons." Oh yes, my friend, this is your hope. You and I have no right whatsoever to expect anything of God. Because of our sins, we have disqualified ourselves. We have failed God. We have alienated ourselves from God. And the Bible says that through our disobedience, we have even become enemies of the gospel. Oh, how wonderful then, how miraculous then, that God would even consider adopting sinners like you and me as his sons and daughters. Now then, of course, we must ask the question, does this biblical teaching of God's adoption policy, does this new attitude of God mean that God has suddenly changed his mind? Is God now disregarding our sins? Is God winking at all of the mistakes we have made? Absolutely not. You see, God is willing to adopt us as his sons and daughters for one simple reason. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through his bloody death on the cross, has paid in full the penalty that you and I should have paid. Jesus Christ, on the bloody cross, died the death that you and I deserve because of our sins. The Apostle John writes, "If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and Jesus himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. In this is love," the Apostle John writes, "not that we loved God, but that he first loved us." Not long ago, a major politician, as he resigned from office, said that what people today need is hope. Oh, indeed, this is true. But even more important, people today need to know in whom or in what they can trust for their future. Political voices of all stripes have often proven disappointing. Government programs are often left wanting. Even some major religious leaders have ended up exposed as self-serving. Man's only hope is in the God of the Bible, and man's only salvation is in the Christ of the Bible. The trustworthy God, the salvation of all sincere believers, is not a God out there somewhere, but a God who has acted in history. A God who even now gives daily bread unto those in need. A God of patience and long-suffering, one who sends rain both to the just and the unjust. A God of indescribable grace, a God who is not willing that any should perish forever in hell, but a God whose will is that all should come to sincere repentance and faith, and then be saved by the atoning crucifixion wounds of the resurrected Savior. Oh, my friend, this is the gracious God that we are now proclaiming unto you today. Through faith in this eternal and unchanging God of history, for you, my friend, all things are possible. Now, let's be honest. This does not mean that God will give you anything and everything that your heart desires. However, since nothing is impossible for God, this does mean that all those who are children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they can live with the blessed assurance that God knows their daily needs and that God will surely give them whatever is best for them. Now, even we as adults, we don't always like to hear this, that God gives us not necessarily what we want, but what is best for us. How often don't we see little children with their father or mother in a store? The child is crying or even screaming, all the while pointing to some toy or some candy, hoping that his or her temper tantrum will persuade the parent to purchase the item. And in many ways, this is surely the way our lives must often appear to God. We see things in the world, too. A car that is flashier than ours, a house that is larger or more beautiful than ours, or new and expensive clothes that have been made popular by celebrities. We may want these material possessions even very badly, but God may not necessarily grant us these material blessings, not because He could not, but simply because God knows that it is better for our own good if we don't have them. And so, my friend, don't delay. Reject today any and all ideas that no one is concerned about you. God knows you, and God loves you. Reject also all ideas that you are destined to be a failure in life. Instead, know for certain that in Christ Jesus and through your faith in the Blessed Redeemer, God the Father now wants to adopt you into His special family of faith. And when you, through sincere repentance and faith, become a child of God through spiritual adoption, you can then live each day with the total and blessed assurance that God will daily supply you with whatever your needs might be. Nothing is impossible for God. And as you listen to this broadcast, let your heart be assured of one thing. No request that you ever have of God is ever too great or too difficult for God to accomplish, and nothing is impossible for Him to carry out. This is a basic teaching of the Scriptures, and therefore you can build a solid future upon this grace of God. And so then, the next time that you are facing problems or challenges in this life, instead of throwing up your hands in discouragement, repeat instead these words of the confident hymn writer who wrote, "I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, and this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand upon His word. Man's reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts her subtle wisdom, relies on shifting ground. In faith, Lord, let me serve Thee, though persecution, grief, and pain should seek to overwhelm me, let me a steadfast trust retain. And then at my departure, take Thou me home to Thee, and let me there inherit all Thou hast promised me." O Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, establish upon Yourself the faith of all listeners to this program today. Whenever the demon of doubt arises, let us hear again and again Your ancient words of the sacred Scriptures, "With God, nothing is impossible." O Lord, let this promise of hope be planted deeply and permanently in the hearts of all listeners today. In Your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.